Off the Ball. GAA.
Who is the best player that you've played against?
David Clifford.
Sam Mulray.
Dermot Connolly probably. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Very happy to say Ciara Grant, Republic of Ireland international, playing her football with Hearts in Scotland, is on the line. Ciara, thanks so much for the time.
Not at all, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
So I have to say, at 2-0 down and England about to take a penalty on 28 minutes, I thought, oh God, suddenly 2-0 doesn't... You don't want to say it. Suddenly 2-0 doesn't feel so bad.
No, and I was sitting there with a few teammates were over to watch, and I'm afraid some of them had English jerseys on, and I think they're getting a bit excited. But I think that just shows you the fine margins, like, you know, simple mistakes, obviously these new handball rules. You know, hands were in an unnatural position. Yes, it's a penalty. It's slotted home. The third one I thought was very harsh. I think, you know, if you talk about unnatural hand positions, how is a defender meant to block off an incoming striker if you can't put your hands up? If Louise had her hands down, Russo's going to get in front of her. So I don't think that one would have been given if there was VAR. But luckily for us, you know, it hit the post and cleared, and we got in at halftime at 2-0 down. Which, you know, kind of kept us in the game. And I think if luck was on our side, if we were a little bit more clinical in front of goals in the second half, the game could have turned there for the last 20 minutes, especially from that free kick. Louise did brilliant to get across the post. And if we'd slotted that in, then who would have known what would have happened in the last 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, the Russo-Quinn penalty is so unfortunate as well, because it's a cross into the area for anybody who didn't see it. And what makes it doubly difficult for Louise Quinn is that Russo gets her foot to it first, and it deflects off Quinn's arm from, what, like 10 inches? I mean, like, it's impossible to move out of the way there. And even Quinn's reaction was, what the hell am I meant to do?
I know. And I think with the rules, it's if your hand doesn't move once it's hit, then it's, you know, and you know, you have done that on purpose to block the ball. But Louise's hand is moving upward. The ball hits it further up. So you can see her hand moves as well. So I think it's very harsh.
Real Madrid have scored again, 3-3. Hope I'm dragged away from just one of the great European games of all time, Ciara.
Yes. That's where we
are. I guess on that first half, we'll come to the second half, and it was much improved. Story of the first half was first 10 minutes, Ireland started really well and had a bit more possession, certainly, that they did against France on Friday. And certainly were trying to be more progressive. That said, didn't create much. And then when England found a bit of a rhythm in that first half, they were excellent. They did dominate the game.
They were, and like England's one-touch game is just incredible. They're getting out of very tight situations. You know, our press was almost perfect at some times, but they were still managing to get out, you know, even when they're man for man, and it is incredible to watch. But I liked that Ireland set off from the front foot from the get-go. I think it's the highest press we've seen us, and the most coordinated press, I think, at times too. But I think England's class did then start to come through after about 10, 15 minutes, and they did dominate. But I think it shows what Gleeson and the rest of the staff are trying to implement. And we can just see it's the last decision, the last touch, maybe the placing of the ball out to Katie on the left a few times too far in front of her. They win the ball back. We've lost momentum. So it's promising. And the thing is, these games are so tough, but you're trying these things against the top teams. And that's where you want to be trying them. Because it's okay against, you know, if we were still in the B League playing against these teams where it's easy and you start to gain almost false confidence, but it's trying to do it against these top teams is hard. And sometimes you pay the price for it, but it's trying to get better with each game.
I didn't see the second half as closely. I was recording pieces or doing pieces live here on the show. But certainly any time I was able to glance at the game, Ireland seemed to be in possession every bit as often as England. So that was promising for a start. What changed? Did England kind of say, 2-0, feed up? Or did Ireland do something to get more of a foothold in the game, do you think, Ciara?
I think Ireland from the back line forward became a bit more aggressive, and we stayed higher in our press. But the back line, I think, were winning most of the 50-50 balls. And we were putting a lot more pressure on them, even causing them some forced errors. And then we were much more composed in possession. And it looked like, compared to the first half, every time a player got on the ball, they had options. So we could play a bit more fluidly and play through the lines almost and get up. And again, lacking a little bit of that kind of composure in the final third. And at this level, it's small, small margins, you know, whether you score or not in decision making, and just everybody being on the same page. This English team, that starting 11 today, like, they've had some great achievements over the last couple of years, the wealth of experience of playing at the top level and top competitions. They know each other almost inside out. And looking at their bench, the players coming on, you just have class coming on. You know, that if they had a starting 11, if their bench was the starting 11. That is still a great team as well. So it's hard to play against that for the 90 minutes as well. But I think Leanne coming on, Megan coming on, gave us that a bit more kind of energy down the lines as well. Wing backs is a tough position, but Megan's throw, Leanne's running, gave us a bit more spark too. And obviously with Megan's throws, created most of our chances in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. And that is just going to be a reality of some of these games against the likes of France and England. Hang in there, do what you have to do. Obviously try and play football if you can, but then stay in the game. So then in the last 5-10 minutes, if you're relying on a few long throw-ins and maybe Louise Quinn goes up front for a bit, even though that was sort of criticised at times under Vera Pauw, against teams of this calibre, needs must at times, and you can't get away from that either overly. You wouldn't be critical of that.
No, I don't think so. And I think they tried it a lot earlier today as well, which I think actually worked better because it was, I think, just after the 70th minute and Louise has gone up top. And to be honest...
She went up that early? I didn't realise that.
Yeah, maybe don't quote me on that, but it was definitely in between the 70th and 80th minute.
So not like an injury time kind of thing.
No, yeah, no. So it was more like, let's try and get a goal back here early to try and get a second. And it almost paid off. Katie's lovely free kick to the back post, Louise stretched and a perfect ball across the 6-yard box. And we had people coming in, but it was unfortunate. Patton tried, swung at it, missed, and then that almost caused confusion for the players behind. But any other day, that would have went in. So that would have been, 2-1 with maybe 15 minutes still to play. We had another chance after that as well. So again, though, England took their chances. Courtney obviously made a great save too for Fran Kirby's shot. But, but again, I think this is just, even if you look back to the Wales game, we played Wales where we had beat them last year. They beat us, but Wales had come off the back of playing extremely tough games, whereas we'd come off the back of winning all our games. And I think that stood to Wales because they were used to playing at a higher pressure, higher pace, whereas we'd almost maybe got comfortable with being the dominating team. So I think these games are really going to help the girls coming into the playoffs afterwards.
Well, I think that is the dynamic at play here, isn't it? Whereby it's a horror group, but there is the safety net of the playoff. And so if Eileen Gleeson and the team can get through this group and maintain belief and maintain confidence in the face of losing games, then they do arrive in the playoffs in very good nick and probably improved by dint of the exposure to top-level opposition. So that, Vera Pauw famously chose a very tough run of friendly fixtures in the belief it would stand to the team and was probably proven correct. So that's the thing that Eileen Gleeson and the team have to strive for here, to maintain confidence in the face of negative results on paper. You would think on the basis of France and England, two defeats, it shouldn't be a group with confidence or morale on the floor afterwards.
No, and I think looking at when the group came out, I think if you predicted that it was only going to be a 2-0 and a 1-0 loss, yes, obviously we don't want to be losing, but it's not the worst case scenario. We've put in two gutsy performances. And as you said, when you're playing against better teams, you have to step up, you have to improve, you have to think faster, move faster, analyse the games better. And I think that's going to stand to the squad as well off the back of the World Cup. So all the learning from the World Cup, you still have the guts of the squad there. Now, there's a lot of young players on the team coming through too. It's a massive learning opportunity for everyone. And I do think that is going to stand to the team.
Ciara, do you think against this level of opposition we can realistically aspire to keep the ball better, especially at first half where, I know England are putting pressure on us, but there's times where you're kind of pulling your hair out a little bit watching as well. Or is that just the level of a lot of these players without being overly harsh on them?
Well, I think if you look at the clubs the English girls are playing at compared to the clubs a lot of our players are playing at, they are bigger clubs and, the top half of leagues as well. So when you're in those environments, you are training at a higher level all the time, day in, day out. And that obviously then just comes second nature when you come into international football. But I think we've seen moments and more sustained periods of time, I think, in the second half today, where the girls are getting on the ball. We're playing from Courtney. We're playing through the lines. We're playing right up to the top. We're switching from left to right. And I think that's massively improved, even probably from the World Cup performances. I think we are getting better at that. But we didn't create enough chances, and I think that's an issue. It's okay getting better playing out from the back, playing into the midfield, but it's the final third that, you could have 60, 70% possession, but if you can't score, then you're not going to win. So I'd say that's what Gleeson and the rest of the staff are probably working towards, but that's not going to come overnight too. And again, we scored a lot of goals, in the Nations B League. So coming that, like bringing that now against the top teams. It's where you don't get 5-6 chances to score two or three goals. You get one chance to score one goal, and the girls need to take that.
Yeah, and a parallel with the men's senior side at the moment as well. Just scoring goals, creating chances. Listen, great stuff. I kind of, in a way, maybe it shows how far Irish women's football has come in such a short space of time. It's not like the headline talking point is, oh, and by the way, over 30,000 people went into the Aviva Stadium for a game against England. You know,
yes.
Kind of amazing as well that the game is here and continuing to grow and that in at kind of rapid pace at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think when they talked about having the games in the Aviva, even 2 years ago, there was a lot of question marks, a lot of doubts. Would it be a huge financial hit? Would it even make financial sense? Would the girls, the players get overwhelmed? Like, you know, all of these questions. Whereas now, hopefully this is just the standard going forward. And this is it when you're playing against top teams too. Yes, people want to come see Ireland play, but they also want to see these top oppositions coming too. And that attracts more fans. So I think it's great. And I just, you know, sometimes you don't want to think it, but the better England are doing, the more it is feeding off to, say, even the Scottish League here, yeah, back in Ireland, because there's more awareness, because we all follow the English men's leagues. So, you know, now you turn on Sky News, you're seeing the women's results coming up, BBC Sport app, you're seeing all the women's games coming up, the women's news headlines across all sports as well. So it's just becoming a bit more of a level playing field.
Yeah.
But I think the speed that it's gone at in here in Ireland and across the globe is massive. So I just think, you know, we have to be patient, trust the girls. They're doing the right thing. They're trying the right things. And there are moments where we see how good we can be against, you know, second, third in the world. So I think, you know, there's good things coming for the squad in the next few months.
Yeah, here's hoping. Mm-hmm. Ciara Grant, thanks so much. Great to have you on the show. Cheers.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.